Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hello.
And we are so glad to be here today. Tuesday, a little bit different than our normal schedule, but in any case, we are here to take your calls for on-air readings and to discuss today the inconsistencies of faith. Our call-in number, 914-338-0164. And we always invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked here on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us here as well by clicking on the follow button under our profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. And callers, we will be getting to your calls shortly, but we do discuss our topic prior to taking calls. So please do hold your place in the queue. And also 281, area code 281 does not have their hand raised. So press 1 on your handset, 281, if you would like to speak with us. Yes, they want to speak with us. So we'll be speaking with area code 281 later. But today, inconsistencies of faith. So, as human beings, our faith is often tested. And especially if we've chosen a spiritual path, we're going to be tested more harshly. And I don't know, Neil, any thoughts today specifically on faith?
Well, faith is probably one of the most abstract concepts we have of consciousness. I mean, there's nothing concrete about it. You can argue that there's something concrete about faith, but actually, in its objective reality, there is nothing concrete about faith.
It's, right, there's no tangible. Faith is intangible.
No, I mean, that's exactly right. And so it's based not on any position of logic, unless you determine that it's logical to be faithful. But actually, it has nothing to do with logic. It has nothing to do with anything concrete. It has more to do with belief. And beliefs are abstract, too. But when we come to the attitude of faith, which is one of the abstract tools that we as human beings use, whether it's for religion or for psychic energy or for whatever you want to call it, the idea of faith stems from the fear, from the running away of fear. Because when we're afraid and we have nothing to count on, what do? We start to allude to aspects of faith. So faith is actually the antithesis of fear of the unknown or fear of mortality. We have faith that there is something
beyond life. And it's the highest expression that humans of spirituality that any human can express. It's the highest form.
It's the highest
in terms of an abstract action.
Yeah, I mean, in Christian concept, there's nothing Christian. In Christian concept, I'm talking to Jesus here. In Christian's concept,
don't think so. Far
Christian,
from it.
Christian. In that attitude, also in Judaism and all aspects of religion, faith is faith in God. You without faith, none of your works will work. Nothing like that. In our world, The psychic or the medium, if you will, can use it in that concept, but we use faith more into the element of what is being intuitive. So you project this attitude of being intuitive, which has to do with feeling, vision, a little bit of that. Can a psychic be an atheist? Yes. I mean, you don't need to have vision. You don't really need God. You don't need any religion to have vision. So vision comes, scientists have vision. You don't need vision and religion. But faith comes into, but when we're dealing with faith in our concept, right, we're dealing with more in the intuitive element of faith, as opposed to the even the mythic elements or the synthetic elements or the conventional elements, the religious elements. We're dealing at more in terms of the concept of being intuitive. Faith, intuition.
Right.
Faith, intuition. The psychic will say, well, I see this. Psychics don't usually say, God sees this. They say, I see this. Well, what do you see? So when we're dealing with it on that individual level, the attitude of faith, I mean, it has absolutely different concepts.
Right, because you can have faith without necessarily being spiritual. I mean, you can have faith in, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to be a believer in God to have faith. I mean, we're talking about faith on a spiritual level.
No.
Obviously.
You can have a conjunctive faith.
Conjunctivitis faith.
Yeah. In
terms
of the, you know, where the limits of logic branch off and we face those great paradoxes of life or what we might deem as the transcendence of life, when we make that leap into the mystery of time and space and things like that, then we get it more into the attitude that faith is something that keeps us moving beyond the immediate moment. So we live on the principle that we don't live for the moment. Most of us don't live for the moment. Most of us live for beyond the moment. If we lived for the moment, we would be in a very desperate place. But so most of us assume by habit that we're going to wake up in the morning. So we have faith that the sun's going to, we have faith that the sun is going to rise. We have faith that the moon is going to rise. We have faith that we aren't going to drop dead if we say a certain word. So the element of faith, you don't need God for that. You need basically physics, science, whatever. You don't necessarily need God. I'm not implying that God isn't in the picture or in my headspace. But what I'm saying is that faith is usually equated with God, when in all actuality, it's pure origins are kind of based on faith because of biblical text or myths or storytelling. We get into that realm because we want to have faith that we were created by something intelligent and that that intelligence has some controlling factor in our universe. So we have that leads to some form of faith. Other attitudes of faith, I'm sure that scientists, if the science project is going wrong or the spaceship is lost in space, they're all wringing their necks and their handkerchiefs because they have, oh, for a moment, they have hope. And then, you know, faith is kind of too non-scientific. So they might deem it as hope, or they base it on maybe the logics of what they know of how to work with science material or whatever. But we still get into the attitude of what is the element of faith, whether it's from a scientific viewpoint or whether it's from a religious viewpoint or purely intuitive element. This idea of faith is still something that we can't quite grasp. It's what our minds lean towards it as something tangible because it gives us hope if everything's going wrong.
Right. So what about those people that have faith that something tangible or concrete is going to happen for a certain period of time, which is kind of it. I mean, it's not a strong essence of faith to believe in something concrete saying, you know, well, I want to achieve this result in my life and I have faith I'm going to do it. And they're faithful on this level for a certain period of time. And then they lose faith that concrete result is going to happen. That's a sign of weak spirituality.
Well, it's weak spirituality, but because objectively, it's, you know, faith must have results.
Right.
In other words, faith has a payoff.
So faith on the highest level is going to be no matter what happens in my life And I believe that, you know, these things are possible. And if, and even if it doesn't happen, I believe that I will, you know, have rewards in the afterlife or so on and so forth. Or, you know, I maintain my connection with God and angels no matter what occurs in the physical reality. That's
unconditional.
That's right.
But when you have, you can have a conviction that something is, and you can go into denial. A faithful person can be in denial, or they can allude to blind faith, because faith is not something you can see, nor is it something you can either accept or deny, because it's hard to prove. Even if something were to happen, it's hard to prove that faith was the result of such a thing. But if so, you could just say, well, it was determination. My energy, my ego, I created faith myself, because that was my gasoline.
That's like a second and third chakra statement. It's nothing to do with spirit.
Well,
it's not seventh.
No, but when we get into the layers of the brain and how, I mean, after all, we're talking about the logistics of faith. How logical is faith? Where does it come from? And if it doesn't come from something within our ego or within our psyche, then it's got to come from something beyond. Now, how do we prove that there is something beyond? Well, psychics and mediums and people who are in spirituality, they're already there. They're already pro other element, other world, other realms. So they're already there. They need no convincing. But you know, again, a doctor will say, well, even doctors will pat their patients and say, well, you have to have faith. You know, miracles do happen. It's not a word that's applicable to medicine, but the energy of faith. Now, when we talk about the energy of faith, faith creates the belief in having faith. When you have faith, you create an energy in the body. Now we're talking about the brain. We're talking about the energy of the body.
Right. And so then that is that, and the chakras as well, which are
more
of the spirit part of the body.
More abstract. But when we talk about these things, then we're talking about that our energy levels can self-actualize our goals. And so in that respect, faith might slip in as a word, because it's nothing but a word. It's just it's nothing but five letters. And that's all they are, five symbols. But what they represent in terms of energy and how the belief pattern is with faith also can determine perhaps the validity of faith. But again, it's totally subjective, and it's not something that can actually be measured, just as we can't measure God. We can't measure the origin of the universe. It's too vast, it's too complicated, and we're not here equipped with that kind of knowledge. But so when we get into the attitude of faith, we have to realize that there's different levels of faith. And of course, it's very subjective, especially when you get into the human condition.
Definitely. And in order to transcend the planet through our life journeys, there has to be a measurable attitude of faith on the highest level, or you don't transcend. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, as a human species, we're not trying to live for the moment.
Or live for the planet.
Live for the planet, for that matter. We are here. Most of us are here also for our children, for the next generation. We have to think that's a form of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We sacrifice our knowledge and our resources for the idea that it's going to continue. And so there's an element of faith in that. There's an element of faith that you're going to be able to drive your car to work and not die. Is it faith, or is it chance, or caution? You know, we have these different levels that we work on. And if we get down to the negative impulses of, well, I don't have faith, I just take care of myself. I'm protective, I'm cautious, it's fit of survival. I mean, even that is based on the essence that we must preserve our existence. So whether we do it through fitness or diet, or whether we do it through the conditioning of our minds to be intelligent,
sure,
or whether we do it through the conditioning of our spirit to be transcendent, these are all matters that regard faith, and whether faith itself is conditional or unconditional, or at what point don't you have it. One of the classic stories is the Doubting Thomas, that I only have faith if I see it,
right.
Or if it manifests. But faith is a continuum of a process, and it doesn't necessarily have to promise us results. It's something that we breathe and live with continuously.
Okay.
We really believe in it.
All right. We've got to take some callers, Neil. So let's bring on our first, 713. Hi, 713. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Dejan.
Oh, hi, Dejan. How are you? Can we get your birthday again? Don't have it handy.
My birthday is January the 3rd, 1996.
Okay, 14.
How do you spell it?
D-A-J-O-N. D-A-J-O-N, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
14, 29, 11, 2. And what's your question today?
I just wanted to know how do you see me paying for college?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat college? That? It's breaking up again. What?
He wants to see about college.
How do you see me paying for college?
How we see you paying for college. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Are you applying for any type of financial aid?
Yes, I have already done that.
Okay. And so is that pending?
It's actually already been applied to my account, but I still have a little bit more at the payoff on my account. So it doesn't cover everything.
Okay.
Are you going to be a full-time student?
Yes.
Well, right now I see it, Dejan, but I see it where you're making it, but you're barely getting by. But that's okay, because the goal is to get your degree, whether you have to sleep on the floor or not. I mean, that's your goal, and that's going to determine the toughness of who you are. You're asking a specific question about monies. For some reason, in a slice of the pie, I'm seeing something around that's coming in around $6,000. Now, I don't know, it's not the whole pie, it's a slice. Is there anything in the immediate realm of your knowledge that has to do with $6,000 as we speak?
No, not at the moment, no.
And how much, what kind of figures are we talking about here, Dejan?
Well, for my account, it's almost at 5,000. The financial aid covered up most of it. So right now I have like a little bit under 2,000 I have to pay off.
A little bit under 5,000?
A little bit under 2,000.
Oh, a little bit under 2,000. I thought you said something about 5,000. You made a statement about
Total, my everything together costs around 5,000 or a little bit under 5,000. And my financial aid covered most of that, but not all of it. So right now it's the remaining amount is under 2,000.
I see. Well, my $6,000 figure is more. It's a neighbor to the 5,000 you're mentioning. It's sort of a neighbor to that. It's a little higher, yes, but it's sort of within reach. And if we look at the difference between the under 5 to 6, and that's about 2,000, almost a $2,000 difference. And you're saying that you have just under 2,000 left. So what I'm thinking is that this is all going to, I don't know how it's going to work out even, but my determination in terms of the way that I'm manipulating, if you will, these figures, which really is the definition of math, is manipulation of figures, is the idea that you are going to come out okay. Somehow you're getting it. I don't know where yet. I don't know how you're going to pay it off, but it comes out okay. You receive your degree, you make it, you do what you're doing. What's your degree in?
My degree is in media production.
What, say it again?
Media production or film.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I thought it would be in the arts somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, You know, do what you need to do. Do whatever is called upon for you to do. But if we say that manna from heaven, you know, we talk about something coming to you. I believe that there is a destiny factor here, if you will. That word is a little bit vague, but there is a destiny factor in regard to you getting your degree and coming out okay. So I think you're going to be doing fine. I know that's kind of like a sloppy answer, but in my intuitive sense, it's going to come out okay. I'm not sure where that money's coming from, but I'm not getting report that you're going to go under, it's going to sabotage you or anything like that, Deshaun.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Definitely. No one likes to be saddled with financial debt, so it sounds like things are going to work out. Let us know what happens, Deshaun.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, 281 is our next caller. Area code 281. Hello.
Hi, it's Maribel.
I'm sorry. Oh, Maribel. This is funny. Hello. Because we've had a few blasts from the past this week. We had another call that was a regular during the time that you used to call. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
Excellent.
And Maribel, let's get your birth date again. I think your master number is either 8 or 9, but I don't have the exact birth date still in my memory bank.
Okay. 6/7/1976.
Yeah, 36/9. Okay. And what's going on? What's new?
Well, I was laid off in November, but started a business in August, so a couple months before that. So I'm currently working my business from home. So that's what I have going on right now.
I see. What kind of business?
It's a nutritional supplement.
Okay. Great.
All natural, yeah.
Great. Do you have a specific question today, Maribel?
Yeah, about the business. It's going good so far.
About the business. I'm
yes,
sorry?
Ma'am.
Go ahead.
It's going good so far, but my question is about the business. How, I mean, it's going well right now. I'm just kind of curious on, you know, how it's going to progress in the next couple of months. I am going to an international conference in Anaheim, California on August 10th for training. So just insight on the business.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know yet what this might be in the scheme of things. But I'm seeing something around, first of all, I'm seeing a money figure. And like I said, like I said with the former caller, I'm not sure where it's falling in the scheme of things. That might be a little bit off. But it's somewhere between 21 to 22,000. Now, if we look at that figure, just if we take it out of context, we look at it, does that have any meaning to you?
Yes.
Can you validate what specifically?
Oh, I'm sorry. So I've been out of work since November, and I recently had to go into my IRA and pull about $20,000 out for the rest of the year.
Ah, okay, that's it.
Okay, so that's where it's coming from. Now, again, you know, that's a stream of vision coming at me. I'm seeing that coming towards me, not something coming out of my mind, but coming towards my sight. So what that probably means is that as it's coming towards me, I'm probably like seeing it coming out of a bank. It's not like something that came from within you. It's being pulled out of your bank, out of your IRA.
Right.
So it's a sort of, it was there for that purpose, and it's going to keep you. You could probably make that last a year if you're really careful. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely right. I felt that too, that's why I had all that money. Once I got, you know, laid off, I had something to take care of me once I needed it.
Okay. So going August 10th, you're going to the supplement conference, vitamin nutrition.
What's it? Can we ask what the supplement is, Maribel?
Absolutely. Like, it's called Kayani.
Kayani, how do you spell
it?
K-Y-A-N-I. 2715.
It's like from Hawaii or 15, something.
15, 15, 15. It's an Eskimo word that means strong medicine.
Oh, Eskimo.
Well, we're off the continental United States in the Wright Island area, but not quite.
Eskimos and Hawaiians, I guess.
But they're right by each other. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. Yeah, I worked out that number. 24/7.
All right. So does this, as we speak, I don't want to expose you to any, you know, divulging any secrets or privacy or anything. But as we speak, does your business bring in as much as anywhere? Well, in a relative space of thought, between 15 to 18,000 a year, or you don't have something you don't have to share, or am I way off?
Way off. I'm a year in, so it's a slow progress, but it could definitely possibly way more than that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So where I'm off right now in terms of you're a year into the process. So we're looking under 10,000 right now, what you're making?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, it's going to go up. So I think what's going to happen, my way of looking at this is what's going to happen is maybe by this October, you're going to start to see between now and October, you'll start to see a slow climb. Now that might have moments where you're going, oh, wait a minute, it was good, now it's bad. It's good, now it's bad. So, but as we get to October, something shifts then. And then from October to around February, it starts to climb a little bit more. By April of next year, which is under a year away, you might be hitting the figure that I mentioned, between 15
Perfect.
And 18. Okay? So that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm determining right now as I measure my string of information here and get it
Very good.
Sorted out. And we'll see how it goes. But that's basically
Excellent.
Where I'm going with this at the moment. You need to you need to stay steadfast. A good business person is, we're talking about determination and faith and sweat and hard work. There isn't anything that in my mind that is blocking you from succeeding. So there's nothing karmic in your path. And go for it.
Okay, Maribel. Well, have
Excellent.
A great trip.
Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Maribel could come to an in-person. We're right by Anaheim. Maybe she'll decide to schedule.
Oh, she's in Anaheim.
She's coming to Anaheim for that conference. Yeah,
oh.
And we're right by Anaheim. Beautiful Anaheim.
Beautiful, yeah.
Ugh. Okay.
Disneyland's making you getting yet another hotel.
Yeah, a hotel and a tax break, which is unbelievable. They make so much money. The least people that need it get the tax breaks, right?
Well, they're going to be, they'll be taxing the rooms, and they probably think it's some kind of trade-off.
Right. Okay, area code 646. Hello.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I have a question in terms of a legal matter that I'm going to be coming up against soon.
Okay, let me stop you first. Speaking right into your phone would be very helpful because you're breaking up a little bit. And we'd like to get your name and birth date and location, please.
Okay, my name is Tanya. Date of birth is 8/12.
And the year?
Oh, 71.
71, okay. That's really good. Okay, and where are you calling from, Tanya?
I'm calling from New York City.
New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I love New York City.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I bet. Lucky you living there. What neighborhood are you in? 8, 9, 10, 11.
I'm actually in Bronx, New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
7, 21, 8. It's 29, 11, 2. Okay, go ahead with your question, Tanya.
I have a question in regards to a legal matter. Back in January of 2016, I was wrongfully terminated. And I'm looking for some more answers. I know that I was legally terminated because I would not lie with the employer, so they fired me. So I'm going to be putting in a case, hopefully a civil case soon, to see if I could try to sue them. Do you see this coming out successfully? Because the thing is this, I really want to clear my name. It's not really a monetary thing with me. It's much of just clearing my name. because of what had happened to me. Do you see me coming out? Yes. Do you see me coming out winning on this end?
Well, it's difficult. I almost see something, you know, it's vague, but it seems like you're cleared and things are settled out of court.
Okay, that would be good.
So they're it's like they don't need the aggravation. You're just one person. They don't want your hassle. You're consistent. You have legal counsel, obviously. Or are you doing this all on your own?
No, I'm going to be looking into one of my college professors to get some more advice from her, because she's a judge. So I want to see how she can put me into the right direction, because I have been speaking to different lawyers. However, they want an upfront fee, which I do not have. I can pursue this on my own, but I'd rather have legal representation.
Yeah. I think it's going to be settled. My thought, rough draft, but my thought is going to be settled out of court, and you'll clear yourself of the matter and you'll get restitution. You'll get some justification out of this. And so I guess it will be somewhat of a victory for you, and it will help you to move forward and move on. So, you just have to kind of stick in there, because a lot of larger institutions they'll fight you for a while, then they just like, we don't need this headache. And so that's where I think it's going to go.
Yes, because I have all the proof. I have all the documents. So my case is easy to definitely prove. So I just want to be able to – I want to go back to working, number one. I want to go on my life, because it's been a hassle on my end. It's not fun at all, but I'm in a state of mind where I think I'm positive. So sometimes I get mad, but I think positive, because if I don't, then I would get, depressed and everything, and I don't want to go into that direction.
Hard to hear, because it's breaking up a little bit. Are you on a speakerphone? Tanya?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Now we can hear you. What changed?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I was stating that normally I would become depressed, but for the past 6 weeks, I've been very optimistic into tricking myself that I do have a case and that I am going to win, so.
Yeah, that's going to help. That's going to help. And as you get legal backing and counsel and get more of the firm background as to what kind of just state you're in and how much support you're going to have. I think, you'll hear the ambiguity of law and the sort of balance of how things could turn out. But I think you have a strong case. I mean, I'm saying it intuitively. And I think you're going to, like I said, get restitution. You'll get closure on this and be able to move on.
Tanya, what kind of work do you do?
Right now, I'm not doing anything. I have to start looking for work because I have to support myself.
Right, but what type of job? What type of job is this lawsuit regarding?
This is in terms of a city job that I had.
Okay, city job, like for working for the city government
or
city employee. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck.
Okay.
keep us posted.
Okay, I will. So you think, Neil, do you think do you see this case going to court maybe within the next 4 to 6 weeks or before then?
Well, things take time.
Okay.
So I don't want to go too far on a limb on that one, because things can take time. But but certainly we're not talking about a long period of time.
Yeah, I
think
agree with
you. Yeah. Effectively speaking, you're going to be able to live through this time. It shouldn't be that long. I mean, we're just about in August now.
Mm-hmm.
So, certainly by before the end of the year. But, if you narrow it down, you're going to get frustrated if you try to pick a date. Because I can't really say for certain that, in 4 weeks, yes. I want to be a little bit more cautious there.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Tanya, thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Tanya can join us on Facebook and here on Blog Talk Radio. Neil Baker Psychic is the page to like, and Neil and Kristen Baker is the one to follow or send a friend request. And if you call the show regularly, we ask that you do that. Okay, 519 is our next, and we spoke with this person yesterday, Carol.
Hello.
Hi, Carol. And Carol is born on 12/20/1956.
Yeah, 12/20/1956. Yes.
Right. So what's going on today, Carol?
Oh, I got cut off yesterday. I don't know what happened. So I
did
called
you
back
get,
and I tried to call.
Oh, you know what? I remember that. Yes, you did get cut off, and we didn't. I don't think we received your call for some reason.
Yeah, I tried to call back, but I couldn't get through.
Where
yeah.
did we leave off yesterday?
Oh, I didn't get an answer yet, and I got cut off. I for some reason, I my question was, do you see a move for me coming up?
She did. Well, I believe that the answer was yes, there's going to be a move, if I'm remembering correctly. So there was an answer. You have her notes right there.
No.
Oh, no, new paper. Okay, so she was asking about a move, and you are in the Midwest, right?
I'm in Canada, yeah, Ontario, Canada.
In the Midwest of Canada. And you're
right.
wanting to know if there's going to be a move, and I believe you said there was going to be a move. 26/8.
Yeah, well, I vaguely recall the reading yesterday, Carol.
11/26.
And there's going to be a move. I suspect. You know, but when I go over to September, I've already seen. It's almost like you've moved. So, do you have a plan to move before or by the end of September?
Well, I have my house up for sale, but it's going really, really slow. There's no action. There's nothing happening right now. So, I wanted like to see if it was going to happen, basically.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, where in the scheme of things does the figure 175,000 come up? Where does that occur anywhere yet in your mind?
No, nowhere.
Nowhere?
What was the figure?
No.
175,000. What is your home selling for?
$399,000.
So that's almost half of that, half.
Do you have equity in your home?
Yes.
If you don't mind me asking, how much equity would you have in your home?
Oh, maybe 175. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so there's that 175.
So the way I'm calculating this is that I went immediately – according now to the backup of your calculation, I saw the figure of what you had in terms of equity. So for some reason, I'm pulling out of my vision the equity figure. And there, that means that the house, you're going to get that amount, roughly that amount. Now, the second thing I said was by the end of September, which means that you're probably going to get a bid on it very soon.
Okay.
Has it been up as much as 4 months, or where is it?
No, it's about 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Oh, 3 weeks. So 3 weeks, and we're in August, September. So 3 weeks, that was basically the beginning of July,
yes.
August,
yes.
October. So I'm seeing 4 months, meaning that it probably won't be on the market for more than 4 months.
Okay.
From the time you put it up. You put it up basically in beginning of July, so July, August, September, October. Somewhere in there, before or by the 4th month period, so it might be a month after September, I see it being sold.
Okay. Okay, because it's within what I'm asking for. Like, I'll settle for maybe $20,000 less than what I'm asking because it's worth that much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, our debt, rough draft, I'm saying 175 equity. You pull out of it. So we're somewhere in that field. So you don't, you know, your fluctuation there isn't going to be, you know, maybe 20,000, but in the long run, that's not really that much when you look at the big picture. And then you'll move from there.
Okay.
And then from there, you're 59 years old, and you're going to still be 59 when you sell your home. And let's see, from the age of 26 and 59, what are you? You are 33 years old past the age of, what were you doing at the age of 33, 34?
Oh, God. Probably taking care of my daughter. Working. Yeah, taking care of my daughter.
Taking care of your daughter. You're divorced?
How old's your daughter?
She's 32. She just turned 32.
Oh,
I'm
so
single.
your daughter is around the age I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
You're doing okay, Carol. You're going to be okay. I mean,
okay.
Again, those are clumsy words I'm using. You're going to be okay. But again, you're going to be able to get through this and sell your home and move forward.
Okay.
So expect good things.
All right, Carol. Thank you so much for your call. What was that?
I will call back and let you know what happened.
Please do, and we would love it if you joined us on Facebook, followed us there, here at Blog Talk Radio as well. We would appreciate that. And I'm glad you got in today because she actually did get cut off.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. She did get cut off yesterday. Remember, we dropped her in the middle of the reading and she never came back.
Oh.
So, yeah, that actually happened.
It actually happened.
Okay. 203 is going to be our last caller for the day. 203.
Hi, this is Pat in Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Pat in Connecticut.
Hi.
Pat, 28 and 1. Yeah, that's right. I should remember your birth date, 7/12, and your year?
53.
Okay, what's the update, Pat?
I need to move out of my apartment. It's way too small. I've requested to move into an apartment above where I've been doing volunteer work. Do you see that happening? It's a arts program below, and I found out they have an apartment above.
An arts program below, and you're volunteering for this place?
I'm sorry?
You're volunteering?
I've been volunteering with maybe the chance of working there, but I started out volunteering. And I found out that they've got an apartment above, and I think the guy there is moving out. That's what I've heard. And it's supposedly bigger than where I'm at and a lot cheaper. I'm not managing paying for this apartment either. It's been a real struggle.
Okay.
You're in a struggling mode, but you're proximity-wise, you're right there. So what you've got to do is just be diligent about going through all the steps and keeping yourself very present and visible through the process. But having said that, I do see you moving upstairs.
Okay. What did you mean proximity-wise I was very there? What does that mean?
Well, your voice is somewhat breaking up, but you said something about the apartment above you or something like that is bigger?
No. I've been volunteering at a place in the city, and it's an arts program, and they have an apartment above that facility.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're there. You're in that building. Your body's there.
Okay.
And so in essence, you have a living space there. It's tribal. It's based on an energy field. So you're going to be moving. I think you're going to be moving upstairs. That's what I meant. You just didn't get my definition was a little bit off.
Okay.
So you
but you're moving to the upstairs unit above the place where you're volunteering.
Okay.
That's
tribal.
What the message is.
You're volunteering at this place, but it's a tribal past life zone.
Interesting. Because I feel good there. Neil, do you see a time period?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a time period is a calculation. You know, I've been stuck with every caller today with the September, October thing. And I don't want that energy to flow over to you and I'm making a miscalculation. But I don't think it's going to be more than that. I mean, it could be a month away, 5 weeks.
Okay. Do you think she's going to be employed there to wrap it up?
I think so.
You think she will be employed there beyond volunteering?
Well, it's tribal. It's tribal, but you know, I got to get more information to do a read on it. But I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Pat,
thank you.
Thank
you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we do have a couple more callers. So 10 minutes, we're going to be squeezing them in to the last moment. So we need to stop on time today. But 856 is next. And then 954. 856, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is Laura.
Laura. L-A-U-R-A?
Yes.
And Laura, what's your birthday? Oh, L-O-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
10-1-16, you're breaking up. I don't know if you're on a headset. What's your birthday again?
10-1-63.
63, that's what I thought you said. What's your question?
I'm looking for work, and I'd like to know when he sees me getting a job.
You're looking for work, and you want to know if I see you getting a job. Let me go back into your work history. Did you ever work at a clothes store anywhere in your work history?
Yes.
Okay.
Several years ago, though.
That's okay.
But that doesn't matter. It's a vibration that's being connected to Laura. So,
okay.
So, I mean, when it happened is immaterial. Go ahead.
Now as I move down the line of your life, I branch off a little bit to where I see you have an animal. Did you ever own an animal?
No. I mean, I've goldfish in the past, but that's it.
Well, that's an animal. I didn't say dog or cat, I said animal. As far as
I
know, a goldfish is
classified,
not,
says, yeah.
It's not a radio, it's an animal. So you had a goldfish, and did the goldfish, well, that doesn't matter, because I'm seeing a two-year zone. I don't know if this was 2 years ago or...
The duration of 2 years.
No. I was a child when I had the goldfish.
Right,
I haven't had any pets since
then. How long did you have the goldfish, Laura, do you think?
Oh, gosh. A long time. Probably maybe 7 years or so.
7 years.
It grew
That's
pretty big. Yeah.
That's a
I
long
know,
time.
We took good care of my fish.
That's good.
Well, you know, I'm actually getting you to talk to me so I get a vibration. And the things you're telling me sends me a vibration. You're going to be getting a job. So I'm seeing a job. Is there anybody in your family born between July and October?
Yes.
Aside from you, who is that? Mother or father? Who is that?
Let me think. Father.
When's your father born, Laura?
I think it's August.
I'm pretty sure
it's August. Yeah.
Well, are your parents one crossed over? Are they divorced? What's going on?
They're both passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what's happening on this reading is I'm getting a I might be getting vibes from one of them. Maybe, because I'm hearing voices and I try not to be schizophrenic, but I'm hearing voices and And so I don't know who it is yet. I have no idea what I'm listening, who I'm listening to. But anyways, you're asking me a question about a job, and I think you're going to be getting a job very, very soon. It's going to be an income that sustains you. It will be somewhat modest, but it will still sustain your ability to survive. That might grow a little bit. There was a 3-year period where you worked somewhere and got let go. And real quickly, because we don't have much time, but
yeah.
Did you work somewhere for 3 years and were let go?
No.
Well, I want you to really think, you're certain about that?
Yes.
And how long was your longest job?
2 years.
2 years with some change?
No, I'd say two and a half, maybe. Two and a half, probably.
Okay. Yeah, I got to get to know you. The way you're answering the question, you have this vagueness, but the more I probe you, the more I start to see there's a sense of accuracy of what I'm perceiving. And how did you leave that job?
I got laid off because they got bought out by another company.
Okay. Laura, we got to back up because the question was there any job where you were let go of around the period of 3 years? And you said, no, absolutely not. But now with further investigation, the answer is yes. So you have to be very careful.
Well, for me, he said 3 years. So for me, it was
2.5 years.
I didn't work there. Well, okay, so go on with what you're trying to say.
Okay, we have to move on to the next.
We
got to
move on. But you're going to be, we don't have time. But what I was able to gather from your reading, you're going to be getting a job is coming up.
Okay.
So a job is coming up. That's positive. And don't worry about the attitude of 2.5, 3 years. You're going for a precise time, and I'm going for a sort of a rounded time. But I'm on the right track, I think.
Okay, Laura. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Your call.
Thank you.
Bye. 954 is our last caller for the day. Who's this, please?
This is Valerie.
Valerie, hi. How are you?
Good. My birthday is tomorrow, so I just thought I'd ask for
That's
a quick
right. You're 720.
Message.
And your year is
64.
64. 2911-2 you are. And you're turning 52, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's happy birthday? What's your question?
No question. Just seeing if what Neil has anything good to say or just how the year's gonna go. Or
I think I'm married. Does Sally have grandchildren?
She has no children.
No children at all.
No children.
Mm-mm. Why do I see you around children? What, have you ever worked with children in any way, Valerie?
You always ask her this, too.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't
I don't know. But no, I don't. I can't say that I've worked around children, no.
What is going on with you? Do you like children?
Do I like children? Yes. I mean, I have nieces and nephews that have grown.
Were you an aunt that was involved with your nieces and nephews?
Yes, when I lived closer to them, yeah, and they've come to visit. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I'm a commitment phobe, I guess. I don't know. I never really felt the need to have children, so it's a big commitment.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Did you ever read stories to them?
Did I ever read stories? I can't recall anything specific like that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, Valerie. Maybe I'm getting something from that energy, and I don't know what. I don't know. It would take more in-depth analysis to figure out why I keep going to children with you, and whether it has something to do with your nephews and nieces. Have you ever thought about writing?
No. I've been into I wanted to do healing. That's where I've been kind of putting my energy focused.
Waking, thing, right?
Well, have you thought about when you're doing that healing, have you thought about taking scientific notes on it, compiling what you discover about it and keeping a notebook journal about your assessment of healing?
No, but
okay.
Yeah, because I study different things, and then I just try to do what I feel that, you know, I can't seem to focus on one area, so I do, you know, I kind of mix.
What I'm doing, Valerie, I want you to start to, I would request or suggest that you start to keep a logbook.
Okay.
You've got to start compiling thoughts down about your healing process, because I think somewhere you're not fine with it. There's something about a teacher in you.
Something about being a teacher.
About being a teacher.
Okay.
You see, there's something that I'm getting from you that hasn't hatched yet. Mm-hmm. And it's about being a teacher and about guiding others or maybe counseling others. It may be in the attitude of healing or doing your healing work, but you've got to start to take notes like you're a naturalist, like you're taking your scientific notes. And I want you to start doing that so that you have some kind of reference, that you're just not doing it spontaneously and kind of casually. I want you to take it more seriously.
Okay.
Because I think somewhere you're going to be healing children.
All right.
It hasn't happened yet. We haven't come there yet. So you're in a world, you're going to think, Neil, I don't know what you're talking about. But the more that I've pondered my readings with you, the more that I've thought this over and determined that you're meant to be more serious about what you're doing, compile a book, and you're going to be working a little bit with children or younger people.
Okay.
You'll see. It'll happen.
Okay, Valerie.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Bye.
You too. Okay, well, we are back on the air on Wednesday next week at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Bye-bye.